A young executive one day was driving through a neighborhood in his new car. He was going a bit faster than he should, but he had a hard time holding back the 240 horsepower of that new Jaguar engine. But he was being careful. He was watching carefully for cars that would come out from a side street or for children who would run between cars as he went down the road, just a bit too proud and a bit too fast. And suddenly he did see something coming at his car, and he stopped, but not in time. And as he drove by, it wasn't a child, but it was a brick. Somebody threw a brick between two cars, and it hit his vehicle in the side door, and he stopped, incensed that someone would throw a brick, and he backed up, and there he saw a boy. He got out of the car, and he took hold of that little fellow. He was about 8 or 9 years old, and he said, "What do you think you're doing? What were you thinking about? Why would you throw a brick like that out into the street where you have the danger of hitting a person or a car like mine? What in the world were you doing?" And the young man said, I'm sorry, mister." He had tears streaming down his face. "I'm sorry, mister, but I didn't know what else to do. You see, it's my brother. His wheelchair rolled off the edge of the curb, and he's fallen out into the street, and he's hurt, and I can't pick him up. He's too big. Would you help me?" And so they walked over to where the child lay, and the two of them managed to get him up and into the wheelchair, and this successful young executive pulled the handkerchief out of his pocket, and he wiped the tears and the dirt off this boy's face and his arms and his hands, and has sent them on their way. And as they left, this boy who had thrown the brick and was pushing the wheelchair turned back and said, "Thanks, mister, for helping us." And he said that it was a slow walk then back to his Jaguar as he got back in. And he reflected on that story sometime later and said, "You know, I never got my car fixed. I left the dent and the scratches that brick made in my passenger side door of my brand new Jaguar. I left them there. I left them there to remind me that I should not ever do what I did that day. That I should not ever move through life so fast and so unaware and so uncaring that someone should have to throw a brick to get my attention." Most of the time, when God speaks to us, God whispers to us and nudges us ever so gently. But if we're not paying attention, and we're not attending to the voice and the direction of God, there are times that God will send someone to throw a brick at us. And I don't know about you, but I find with myself that too often, with the busyness and the distractions and all the needs and all the things that invade my life, that oftentimes I do need someone to throw a brick at me to get my attention more often than they should have to, more often than I'd like. It was an exciting day. Most incredible thing had happened, and everyone was excited. Jesus had come back to town. He had come home. He's here. We've been hearing about him all over the territory, in all the towns and villages of Galilee. He's been preaching and teaching and healing and casting out demons. At least that's what we've heard. Now he's back home. He's back in town, and everybody was running to get to him. And they wanted to get there first because they wanted a place in the front row. They wanted to be on time. Perhaps if they got there quickly enough, they could even get in the door where they could sit at his feet. Everyone was moving toward Jesus because the word was spreading. He was back in town. And Mark tells us that the crowd was so great that they couldn't fit anyone else at the door. The house was filled and the door was jammed, and probably what Mark means to tell us is that the street in front of the house was blocked too. There were so many people that there was no more movement taking place. Such a crowd had come to see if it was all true, if what they had been hearing about Jesus was actually true. And he spoke to them and he taught them. He spoke the word to them, Mark tells us. And as all that was going on, there was a particular group of people who somehow, miraculously, avoided getting caught up in all the frenzy. Because you see, this group of people had a friend. And they knew that their friend could not get to where Jesus was by himself. He needed their help. You know, and as I read this story now through more than 50-year-old eyes, it looks differently than it did when I was an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old. It seemed to me then that the miracle was that this paralyzed man who had to be lowered through the roof was healed by Jesus. That seemed to be the miracle. But today, I see an even bigger miracle in this text. And the bigger miracle is that these people, in spite of the frenzy of the day, in spite of the excitement that everyone was getting caught up in, they remembered their friend. And they took thought of the one who couldn't get there by himself and who needed their help. And so they went to get him. Mark is very careful not to tell us how many there were. There were these friends who came to get the man, and four of them carried him. Four of the friends, but there were more than four. And they took him to this house where Jesus was, and they couldn't get in, of course, because of the crowd. And it says they tore a hole in the roof. Well, you know, and I'm sure that's true, but if it were a hole big enough to lower a man on a pallet through, folks, They probably had to tear the whole roof off and make a hole that large. And then it says, and again, these gospel writers are remarkable. You must read them very carefully and weigh each word sometimes. And they said that this man who was lowered into Jesus' presence through the hole in the roof was healed of his paralysis, and he got up and he walked out of the house. But notice what it says about why he was healed. He was healed because of faith, but it wasn't his faith. It was the faith of his friends that brought him there. It was the faith of those who had come with him so determined to find a place not for themselves, but for their friend in Jesus' presence. It was because of that friendship and the faith of that friendship that this man was healed and walked out of that house. Don't underestimate the power of friendship. That's a good deal of what we talk about around here. We don't always use that term, but that's what it's all about. The friendship that you have to offer others, whether they are others who live in the same house or in the same neighborhood or on the other side of the world, the friendship and the care that you have to offer to others is transforming friendship. It activates the gracious power and love of God in not only in our lives, but in the lives of those others Don't ever underestimate the power of your friendship and how earnestly God calls you to exercise it. There's a famous story, and there are many of them, but the one I'm thinking of is a story about Jackie Robinson, the great baseball player. As you know, he was the first African-American man to play in the major leagues, and it was tough on him. He was a member of the Brooklyn Dodgers team, and he faced venom virtually everywhere he traveled. Pitchers threw fastballs at his head. Runners spiked him on the bases. Brutal epithets were written on cards and spoken from the dugouts as well as from the stands. Even the home crowds in Brooklyn saw him as an object of reproach. During one game in Boston, he says, the taunts and the racial slurs seemed to reach a peak, and to make matters even worse, Robinson committed an error in the middle of the game and lost a point for his team. And he stood at second base, humiliated, while the fans hurled insults at him. But another member of the team, a southern white man named Pee Wee Reese, called time out. And he walked from his position at shortstop toward Robinson at second base. And with the crowds looking on, he stood next to Jackie Robinson and he put his arm around his shoulder. And slowly the fans grew quiet and the stadium calmed down. And later, Robinson said that that arm around his shoulder had saved his career, if not his life. Simple act of friendship that brought healing and redemption in that simple, unassuming way. And yet it was powerful beyond measure. Don't underestimate the power of friendship. And when God calls us to serve others, to exercise goodwill and friendship, don't underestimate its power. One of the mottos of our denomination is open minds, open hearts, open doors. It is an invitation to friendship and a call to us to exercise friendship. Some years ago, Tony Campolo was he was on a speaking tour, and he happened to be in Hawaii, where he was to be the keynote speaker at a convention. And he arrived there late one night, and he went to his hotel room and tried to go to sleep, but he was suffering from jet lag, and so he was having quite a time of it, and he was a bit hungry, so he got up to take a walk. And he walked down the street and went into one of those little restaurants. I don't know what people call them today. Back then, we used to call them greasy spoons. You know, one of those places that's open all night. And as he went in there, he sat at the counter to have a cup of coffee, and back behind him, across the restaurant, was the only other people there were four women. And they were four women who were rather scantily dressed and who tended to be there every night, he understood, because they worked at night. And he overheard a bit of their conversation, since the restaurant was empty besides the five of them. And one of the things he heard was one of the women bemoaning the fact that she had no friends and no family. "And tomorrow's my birthday," she said, "of all things." And so when they had left, Tony Campolo conspired with the cook. He said, "What I'd like to do is have a birthday party here tomorrow night. Can you help me? Can we arrange for a cake and some ice cream and maybe some party hats and whistles or whatever we can come up with?" And the cook agreed. And so the next night, they all showed up again, and they had a birthday party for this one lonely woman. And as things were winding down and he was getting ready to go, Tony Campolo spoke to the group and he said, "I'm wondering if before I leave, I might offer a prayer for you." And the cook looked at him and said, "What are you? Are you some kind of a preacher or something?" And Tony Campolo said, "Well, I guess you could say I am. Well then, what kind of a church do you have? And Tony Campola said, he said it was one of those moments when just the right words came to my mind at the right moment and I said them. He said, I come from the kind of church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes in the middle of the night. And the cook said, no, you don't. No, you don't. Because if you came from a church like that, I'd go to that church too. That's the kind of church that I want to go to. And indeed, that's the kind of church that we all want to go to. The kind of church where no one is excluded. Where there is a place for everyone no matter what their faults. Where there's a place for everyone no matter what their faults, even a place for me. And where the doors and the hearts and the minds are always open and always looking for an opportunity to care, to show the love of Christ to others. That's the kind of church that we all want, is it not? Not just the kind of church that's satisfied to keep the doors open and let anybody who comes in who wants to, but a people who are not satisfied just with that and who go out of this place to every corner of the world reaching out with the love of Christ in every way that is available to us. That's the kind of church we want to have, isn't it? And that's the kind of church you are making here. And you and I have every reason to be proud of it, but not to rest on our pride, because as soon as we do, then it all goes away. That is indeed the kind of church that we want and that we work so hard to have. Don't underestimate the power of your friendship to transform the world, because it was the power of friendship that caused the man to be healed, and it was the faith of his friends rather than his own that enabled Jesus to act. And so it remains with us, that through the power of friendship we can bring the power of God and the love of Christ to bear on a broken and hurting world. That's the kind of church that I want to be a part of and that I have the opportunity to share in with this family of faith at First Church. May God make it so that our friendship for those within this place and for all those on the outside of it, that our friendship will help in the transformation of the world that Jesus our Christ seeks to bring to bear today. Amen.